I want to talk to you this morning about a very basic subject, and that is salvation. You know, much of the Christian world tells us that all we have to do to be saved is to believe. And they say, once saved, always saved. You know, we hear this doctrine if we listen to the Christian shows on television or radio, or if we read Christian literature, we hear this doctrine often. And I want to go to the scriptures and glean the truth about that doctrine. In reality, I believe that it's a step-by-step thing. And I want to turn for my first reading here to the second epistle of Peter and read verses 3 through 12. It says, "According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged," or baptized, if you will, "from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make sure your calling and election sure." Go through each of these steps. Give diligence. "For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance," or salvation, "shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth." You know these things, but you need to be reminded. Okay? Paul himself should have known about salvation. And I want to turn to 1 Corinthians 10:12 for just a verse here. 14:40. A couple verses, I guess. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. It says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." The doctrines of the Christian world says, once saved, always saved. You don't have to worry about it anymore. But Paul says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." And back on 9:27, it says, Paul says, "But I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." There was a fear there that he had, knowing that he could fall, even though he had received this the first steps of salvation. But he did not know that he had that sewed up. In back to 1 Peter, I'll read a few verses there. Chapter 1, starting with verse 13. It says, Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope. Hope. To the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning themselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Don't use those words that you hear so often in the world. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. In fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you and me, who by him do ye believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We have to follow the word of God. And that's what I'm trying to bring out to you this day. This word doesn't teach exactly as much of the Christian world does. I believe this once saved idea gives a person a false sense of security. It teaches that nothing else is required and they cannot fall. It's a lazy way. One example I thought of is the chicken. When it first hatches from the egg, they say if you help it along, it has to do a lot of work to get out of that egg. If you help it along, it will not be strong enough to survive, and it will die. The same with us with salvation. We need to continue to work out our salvation each day. Each step of the way. It's a continuous thing. In Mosiah, the first chapter, page 212, starting with verse 52, it gives some of the reasons. Another term that is thrown out very strongly in the Christian world is the word grace. And this tells us why grace is needed. We need grace. It says, I say unto you, my brethren, that if ye should render all the thanks and praise which your whole souls have power to possess to that God who hath created you and hath kept and preserved you and hath caused that you should rejoice and hath granted that ye should live in peace one with another, I say unto you that if ye should serve him who has created you from the beginning and are preserving you from day to day by lending you breath, that ye may live and move and do according to your own will, and even supporting you from moment to moment, one moment to another, I say, if ye should serve him with your whole soul, yet ye would be unprofitable servants. And behold, all that he requires of you is to keep his commandments. And he has promised you that if ye would keep his commandments, ye should prosper in the land. And he doth not vary from that which he has said. Therefore, if you do keep his commandments, he doth bless you and prosper you. And now, in the first place, he has created you and granted you your lives, for which ye are indebted unto him. And secondly, he doth require that you should, that ye should do as he hath commanded you, for which if ye do, he doth immediately bless you, and therefore he hath paid you. And ye are still indebted unto him, and are and will be forever and ever. Therefore, of what have ye to boast? Grace is needed. You know, in 2 Nephi, the 11th chapter, verse 44, it says that we are saved by grace after all that we can do. In the 7th chapter of Matthew, verses 21 and through 24, it says, not everyone, listen to this, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, not everyone that says they believe shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. We have to do. There's something required of us. And it's a continual thing. Now, everyone that calls upon the Lord will be saved. Proverbs 30. And verse 12. It says, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. They accept, they say, I believe, but they have not been washed from their filthiness. Matthew 24. Keep you going back and forth real fast here. In the 24th chapter of Matthew, verses 12 and 13, it says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Enduring requires doing. In verse 4 of that same 24th chapter, it says, take heed. Jesus says, take heed that no man deceive you. We can be much deceived if we follow only those teachings that are out there. A couple other verses I'm not going to turn to, but in the second chapter of James, verse 19, it says the devils believe and they tremble. Believing's not enough. In Philippians, the second chapter, verse 12, it tells us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. In 1 Peter, chapter 4, starting with verse 16, it says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it begin with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. And like I said, it's a constant thing. It's a constant battle that we have fighting sin that might come into our lives, that we might be saved, because the righteous will scarcely be saved. Every Christian will want us to turn to John 3:16. So let's do that. I'm going to start with verse 14, though, and not just read the one verse, 14, 15, and 16. It says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It doesn't say shall, it says should. And that's a very, very important difference. If they shall have eternal life just by believing, that's a sure thing. But they should have it when they know and believe in Him. Because they should know, we should know, what we have to do to obtain that salvation that is not yet ours. We should be in the way of salvation. We should know how to do, what to do, and how to reach to that salvation. But we don't have it yet. Not one of us that are here living. You know, I mentioned this brazen serpent that Moses put up on a pole. And that's, if you wanted to look that up, it's in Numbers 21, 6 through 9. But I want to turn to, and it mentions it again in Helaman, the third chapter, but I want to turn to Alma 16. And that's on page 427. In verse 191 to 197, it says, "Behold, it was spoken of by Moses, yea, and behold, a type." This was a type. This serpent that was raised up was a type. It was raised up in the wilderness that whosoever would look upon it might live. And many did look and live, but few understood the meanings of those things, and this because of the hardness of their hearts. But there were many who were so hardened that they would not look. Imagine that. Many so hardened, they knew that all they had to do was look, but they wouldn't. Therefore, they perished. Now the reason they would not look was because they did not believe that it would heal them. Oh, my brethren, if ye could be healed by merely casting about your eyes that you might be healed, would ye not be whole quickly? Or would ye rather harden your hearts in unbelief and be slothful that ye would not cast about your eyes that ye might perish? If so, woe shall come upon you. But if not so, then cast your eyes and begin to believe in the Son of God, that He will redeem His people. See, that serpent was a type of Christ. And that He shall suffer and die to atone for their sins. And that He shall rise again from the dead, which shall bring to pass the resurrection, that all men shall stand before Him to be judged at the last and judgment day, according to their works. 2 Nephi, the 13th chapter. This is page 161. In here it says there's something else that's necessary. Starting with verse 7, verse 6, it says, "Wherefore, I would that ye should remember that I have spoken unto you concerning that prophet which the Lord showed unto me, that should baptize the Lamb of God, which should take away the sins of the world. And now if the Lamb of God, he being holy, should have need to be baptized by water to fulfill all righteousness," listen, it says, "Oh then, how much more have we, being unholy, to be baptized, yea, even by water? And now I would ask you, my beloved brethren, wherein the Lamb of God did fulfill all righteousness in being baptized by water? Know ye not that he was holy? But notwithstanding, he being holy, he showeth unto the children of men, according to the flesh, he humbleth himself before the Father, and witnesseth this unto the Father, that he would be obedient unto him in keeping his commandments. Wherefore, after he was baptized with water, the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of dove. And again, it showeth unto the children of men the straightness of the path and the narrowness of the gate by which they should enter, he having set the example before them." He set our example of what one thing that we must do on the way to being saved. "And he said unto the children of men, follow thou me. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, can we follow Jesus, save we shall be willing to keep the commandments of the Father?" We have to keep those commandments. We have to. "And the Father said, repent ye. Repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, he that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost like unto me. Wherefore, follow me and do the things which ye have seen me do." Follow our example, Jesus Christ. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that ye are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following your Lord and Savior down into the water, according to his word, behold, then ye shall receive the Holy Ghost." Okay? You started. You've entered in by the gate. It says, "Yea, then cometh the baptism of the fire and of the Holy Ghost, and then ye can speak with the tongue of angels and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. But behold, my beloved brethren, thus came the voice of the Son unto me, saying, after ye have repented of your sins and witnessed unto the Father that ye are willing to keep my commandments by baptism of water and have received the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost, and can speak with new tongues and with a tongue, even with the tongue of angels, and after this you should deny me, it would have been better for you that ye had not known me. And I heard a voice from the Father saying, yea, the words of my beloved are true and faithful. He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. And now, my beloved brethren, I know by this that unless a man shall endure to the end in following the example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. Wherefore, do the things that which I have told you, I have seen, that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. For this cause have ye been shown unto me, that ye might know the gate by which ye should enter. For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance of your sins, and baptism by water. Then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then ye are in the straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. And ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesseth of the Father and the Son unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye enter by the way, ye should receive. And now, my beloved, here we come to another part. After ye have gotten into the straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay. For if ye have not come thus far, save it by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save, wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope that you will be saved, and the love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only true doctrine of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. Powerful words. A little different than most of the Christian world teaches, isn't it? Moroni, 10th chapter, page 777, last page of the book of Mormon, verse 29 and 30, says, yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if ye should deny yourself of all ungodliness, and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace ye may be perfect in Christ, and by the grace of God ye are perfect in Christ. Ye can in no wise deny the power of God. And again, if ye by the grace of God are perfect in Christ and deny not his power, then are ye sanctified in Christ by the grace of God through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is the covenant of the Father unto the remission of your sins, that ye become holy without spot. Salvation then will be yours. I'm not going to read Mosiah 8. It tells us that mortality puts on immortality, and that only in and through Christ can we be saved. So that's in the 8th chapter of Mosiah, starting with verse 70, if you want to look that up. But I want to read a couple more things here before I sit down. You know, we're all subjects of a king. Our king is Jesus Christ. Even if we do not know him, we are subject to him. Our times are in his hands. You know, despot kings require complete subjection. Our king gives us complete freedom. It can heal, but the scar will still be there. God doesn't do this to us. We do it to ourselves. The commandments are given to show us a way to keep us from being wounded by sin. They're given to show us the way to salvation. I want to read, there's a lot of other scriptures on salvation. You can read in Matthew 26:41. You can read Mosiah, the second chapter, Alma, the third chapter. Those show some of the conditions to be saved. You can read about Luke, in Luke 23, about the thief on the cross that was saved. In John, there's several places where it tells us to keep his commandments and to continue in his words. But I want to turn to Ephesians. In Ephesians, in the sixth chapter, verses 10 through 18, it says, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins," this is the armor, "having your loins girt about with the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Pray for yourselves. Pray for each other. One more scripture. The 13th chapter of Romans. I want to read verses starting in the last line in verse 9 and going through 14. It says, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep." I want to read that again. And that knowing the time, we've got to be able to see the signs of the time. And knowing that we have not much time, it is now that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Oh, it didn't come when we first believed, did it? But it's nearer now. If we continue to work out our salvation, it will continue to be nearer and nearer. It says, "The night is far spent, the time of darkness in our lives, it's far spent. The time is past. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Thank you for your time.